If you can turn back with me to 2 Kings, chapter 22, and also chapter 23. Now, I think last time I preached here, I was looking for work. And after 5 months, I've actually found a job. And this week I started that job. So after all the interviews, all the application forms, all the talking about how I can do the job, I've actually now started a job. It's been a bit of a shock, all the work. I'm not used to working so hard. And the hard hours and the information, the massive information I've heard, and a different culture. I'm used to living in different cultures, but for me it's like going back to my old culture, which is the valleys in Bargoed, which is where I used to go to school. So if my valley accent starts coming back, I'm sorry, okay, but being with the valley people for a week. But a job, when I was in the interview, I had to speak about what I was going to do, how I could do the job, how I thought myself good enough to do the job. And this week, I've learnt a lot about the job, I've read a lot, I have courses to attend, I have mentors to help me, and yet, if I can't do the job, then I'll be thrown out. As much as I talk about it, as much as I speak about it, as much as I learn about it, unless I do the job, then by the end of 6 months, when my probation period is over, they'll throw me out, because I can't do the job. It's about action. The proof is in what I do, not in what I say. So it is with a Christian life. Christian, how can you know that somebody is a Christian? You can't 100% know, we can't 100% know, but the way we know is by their actions, or as the Bible says, by their fruits. We look at people, and if they say they're Christians, then they should be acting like a Christian. How can you tell that a Christian is going on in his walk with God? By his actions, by what he does. No amount of knowledge, no amount of training, or reading, or speaking about things, or hearing things are good enough unless you're actually living out your life as a Christian. And as I was thinking of what to preach on this morning, beginning of a new year, I was thinking about what, as a church and as individuals, we can be doing. What can we be focusing on? What actions can we be doing? Last year may have been a difficult year for you. May have been one very uncertain, very unsettled. And maybe the future still looks uncertain and unsettled. Maybe the present situation, individually, locally, nationally, internationally, does not fill you with a load of optimism. But as Christians, we're not to despair, not to just knuckle down and hope that the storm will go eventually, not just to hope that sometime in the distant future, everything will be okay. I think as Christians, as we start the new year, there are things that we can be doing. This is not writing a list of New Year's resolutions that will go within a month or within a week or within a day. But this is something that I want us to commit ourselves to for the following year. Things that we can do, not just today, but throughout this new year. What I want us to do is to look at Josiah, as we read about. I want us to see what he did as a king, a young king, in very hard times. The situation he was in was very unsettled, very uncertain. But as a king, he turned to God. By the grace of God and by the strength of God, he served God faithfully. He was a man of action. So first of all, I want us to look at Josiah as a person. Then I want to go through a few practical things that Josiah did, and I think that we should do. So we read in 2 Kings 22, 23. Also, you can read about Josiah in 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, that he was a man of action. Now, if I'd asked you before today who Josiah was, maybe not everyone would know much about him. Maybe you knew he was a king, maybe you knew he was young as a king, maybe you knew he was a good king. He's not one of the biggies, not one of the people that everybody knows, not an Abraham or Moses or Paul. And yet the Bible is full, in one sense, of unsung heroes, people who are there as an example, but we know very little about. We don't read about them enough. I know it's hard sometimes to read the Old Testament with all the battles and the history and the different culture and the different wording. But I do encourage you to read the Old Testament and to see the examples of people that God raised up and God used in hard times. They weren't superheroes, they weren't perfect, they made mistakes. Normal people that God used. And Josiah was one of these people, raised up by God in a difficult time to assure the people that in spite of all the difficulties, God was still their God, and he raised this man up. So God raised up Josiah, king of Judah, at 8 years of age. He reigned for 31 years, so died at a relatively young age. But this is what the Bible says about Josiah. If you've not really known about Josiah before, this is what the Bible says about him. In 2 Kings 23, verse 25, it says, "Before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him." He was one of the best kings that Judah had ever had. No king before him, no king after him was like this king. I've turned to it, but in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 3 it says, "For in the 8th year of his reign," he was 16, "while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and metal images." So by the time he was 20, he was trying to bring the people back to God. As I said to the children, there's no age limit on when you can serve God. No age limit on when you can be a Christian, no age limit when you can start to serve God, to lead his people. And I do pray that as I'm conscious when I'm speaking to children or while I'm teaching them in Sunday school, that I'm not just speaking a lot of stories, a lot of facts. I am praying that God will work in their hearts and that he will bring them to know him and that they will seek him at a young age and it will be important to them. Now, the Bible has a number of young people who serve God. Think of Josiah, think of David, he was young and he began. Mary, Timothy, not so young, but still young men as well as old men and women who served God. You look in church history, even in British church history, we ourselves had a young king, King Edward VI, who was also very young and yet sought to bring the people back to God. You look at in the 19th centuries, there's a few missionaries. People like Robert Murray McShane, Henry Martin, David Brainerd, all died by the time they were around 30. So young men used by God at great times of difficulty. But what's surprising about Josiah is not only that he was young, but that everything was against him. Judah, the kingdom that he reigned, was separate from Israel, had a string of bad kings. The people around him had rebelled against God. For years, people had turned to other gods, false gods. Manasseh, 2 kings before him, was a very bad king. Although he repented at the end, he'd done so much damage that the country was in a mess. Amon, Josiah's father, was also an evil king. Says of Amon, "And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as Manasseh his father had done. Amon sacrificed to all the images that Manasseh his father had made and served them. He did not humble himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But this Amon incurred guilt more and more." So for 57 years, since the time of Hezekiah, Judah had ignored God, except for a minor repentance by Manasseh. So the circumstance was a country which had been greatly blessed in the past had now turned away from God. Family, Josiah's family, was not a godly family. They were turning away from God. Internationally, there was pressure, there was uncertainty. Judah knew that there was judgment coming. Josiah was young, unwise, inexperienced. And yet, God used Josiah. Now, we may be in a very similar situation. We might look out nationally and think, yes, Britain, a country greatly blessed in the past, yet now is far away from God. Yes, we may think internationally, uncertainty, who knows what's going to happen. Maybe more locally, we just see problems and worldliness and sin. And yet God can use us as he used Josiah in his time. Now what I have is a list of practical things that Josiah did. I said that Josiah was a man of action, and I have a list of practical things. This is not a classic three-point sermon, okay? It's a long list of things, but I'll go quickly through them. And what I have is a list of REs. What I mean by REs are words beginning with RE, okay? So we have, first one, refocus. Then repent. Then reject. React. Reconnect. Rejoice. And recommit. Sounds like a lot, but we'll get through it. But before I start, I want to give you two quotes. One by a 20th century American, and one by a 19th century Welshman. Okay, first quote by an American. It's one thing to ask God to bless us, but quite another to be the kind of people he can bless. It's one thing to ask God to bless us, but quite another to be the kind of people he can bless. And then secondly, the Lord would give us great things, speaking about revival, the Lord would give us great things if he could trust us not to steal the glory for ourselves. And I want you to think about those quotes as we go through, and I'll come back to them, just as a means of focusing what I want to talk about. So we're going to look at Josiah, what he did. We're going to go through these REs, focusing on what those quotes said. So number one, refocus. Says of Josiah that he didn't turn to the left or to the right. This is an Old Testament picture you see again and again of people serving God, following God, not turning to the left or to the right. We've heard about Joshua recently, and he was told by God not to turn to the left or the right. And as I say, it's a picture in the Old Testament. Now, when I was younger, I used to sprint, and not as fast as Usain Bolt in the Olympics, but I used to run. And in a sprint, you're always told, look to the end, don't look to the left or to the right. Because if you look to the left or to the right, you'll slow down. You'll be distracted and you won't be running so fast. So if you see them on the finishing line and they're looking to the left or the right, they've lost a few seconds or many seconds, okay? And it's the same picture. As Christians, we're supposed to be looking in one direction. Don't let yourself be distracted by the minor, temporary things of this world. Don't let them take you off course or slow you down. How can you serve and seek God if you're not looking in the right direction to begin with? How can you know what to do, how to serve him, if you're not looking to God? It says in Hebrews chapter 12, the famous thing, we have to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, or the author and finisher of our faith. Fix your eyes on him. Turn your eyes on him. Read the word of God regularly. Pray to God regularly. Refocus. Look to God. It's a good starting place. Keep your eyes on God. There's no way you can do the rest of it if you're looking in the wrong direction. You will be distracted or you'll slow down. So the first one, refocus. Second one, repent. Or return. Okay? Turn away from your sin and turn back to God. It says in this book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. And Josiah says, 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse 19, God says of Josiah, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Now Josiah, at an early age, began to rebuild the temple. The temple was in disrepair, and he started to rebuild it. And while they were rebuilding it, they found the book of the law. Probably not the whole of the Old Testament, or even the Pentateuch, but probably a part of Deuteronomy. And this book of the law had been missing for 57 years. And what was Josiah's reaction? It wasn't indifference, wasn't a, okay, they found the book of the law. He was deeply repentant. As he read it, he understood what God was saying. He tore his clothes, a symbol in the Old Testament, that your heart is being torn, okay, heart-wrenching in its original meaning, heart-wrenching. God knew, Josiah knew what God was saying in his word, and he repented, he wept, he took it seriously. he understood how sinful the people had been. Now, as a church, a few months ago, we had a morning of prayer for being humble and repentance. And I hope that that hasn't stopped there, that we've continued to seek God, continued to humble ourselves before God, continued to repent. As Christians, this is something we should be doing daily, something that we should be taking seriously. It's not that, as Christians, we haven't been forgiven completely for all our sin. It's not that we have to overly dwell in our guilt and our sin. But what we have to do is daily come to God, acknowledging that we do turn away from him and that we are prone to wander from him. See how seriously Josiah took God's word, how seriously he took repentance, how seriously he humbled himself before God. And this is something that we, as Christians and as a church, should regularly be doing. We should be refocusing, we should be repenting. And see how important the word of God was to Josiah. I think sometimes in Britain we're so used to having the Bible that we've forgotten its impact, that we've forgotten how important it is. Having been in countries where Bible is scarce, it amazes me that in this country we can take this for granted, because this is an amazing thing that we have this in our own language, and whatever you want it, you can buy it. So hopefully we will have the same attitude as Josiah in repentance and in wonder at the word of God. Come back to the Bible, in one sense. Having refocused, come back to the Bible. Return and repent. Thirdly, reject. Josiah, having repented, having refocused on God, now rejects everything that hinders him. Rejects everything that hindered the people of God. He got rid of all the idols, all the false gods, all the false prophets. Removed the high places, the illegal areas of worship. Got rid of all the stuff of the nations that are crowded in. Everything that entangles. Everything that clings so closely. Everything that tripped up the nation. I don't know what sins or distractions or stuff has hindered you or caused you to sin. Maybe nobody else knows. Maybe it's only you. But we are encouraged, no, we're urged by the word of God to get rid of it. Don't let anything hinder you from serving God. In the New Testament, it uses the term mortify or put to death the sins that hinder you. Put off, lay aside, get rid of them. Be radical in one sense and get rid of anything that hinders you. Sin, as a Christian, you would know, sin is not worth all the hype it gets from the world. Reject it. You cannot expect God to bless you if you are intentionally holding on to sin. It's something you have to be careful and serious about. Fourthly, react. As I said, Christian life is not merely about saying we're going to do things, it's about actually doing it. In the book of James, it says faith without works is dead. The Bible is full of examples of men and women of God who didn't just say, but they did. You can look at Abraham or David or Paul or Nehemiah, and instantly you see they're people of action. Not like, not action men, not superheroes, not doing it to show themselves off or doing it at their own strengths, but faithfully going on serving God. Men of action. So was Josiah. So should we as Christians be. We often talk about seeking God. We often talk about repentance or talk about evangelism. Or talk about being Christ-like. We're so quick to criticize other people who say they're going to do something and then don't follow it through. We often say things, we even sing things in our hymns, and yet do we actually do them? When Josiah made a covenant with God, he put in this clause to perform the words of his covenant, to put into practice what he was saying. Are we merely hearers or readers or talkers of the word rather than doers? I do pray that in God's strength, for myself and for us as a church, that we will be a people of action, not just a people of talking about action, talking about things, or hearing things, or reading things, or knowledge, but a people of action. Again, similar to, as I said before, living in countries where Christianity has to be daily an action. Christianity daily is an effort. the persecution is so much on you, the pressure is so much on you, that it's not the easy thing to do to be a Christian. It's a conscious knowledge that every day you are in a battle. And I think once again in Britain, we've become so easy that we've lost this sense of urgency, this sense of doing what it is to be a Christian. So react. Fifthly, reconnect. The actions of Josiah were not things that he did by himself. Rather, he gathered the people together to make a covenant with him. He gathered the whole community, says people both great and small, status, whether they were the great of the country or the least. Josiah wanted to move forward as an individual, but also as part of a wider community. Yes, we are saved as individuals. Yes, we have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit works in us as individuals. But as soon as we become Christians, we're brought into a wider community, both locally and internationally. This doesn't mean that we lose our individuality or we lose our personal responsibilities, but neither should we be left alone. The church should work as a fellowship, supporting, encouraging, guiding each of its members. Unity and a true sense of fellowship should be something that as a church we'll be seeking, because we're not to do it by ourselves. I was thinking of an example. I was thinking of a team. I was thinking of the Welsh rugby team, which won the Six Nations last year and will probably win it again this year. And if you are a Welsh rugby player, if you go out on your own, you're not going to win. If you're as one individual, you're never going to win against any team. If you go out as a team and you don't care about the other members of your team, you're still not going to win. Unless a team is working together, helping each other, using the strengths of some members, helping those with weaknesses of other members, working as a team of individuals, a team is never going to win. A social of the church should be working as a team, working as a fellowship, individuals within a community, helping each other, strengthening each other, where people are weak, helping them. Where people are strong, then using that strength to work as a team. As a church, we should be connected to each other. As a fellowship of individuals, helping each other to reconnect with fellow believers. Sixthly, rejoice. So often, we can see the Christian life as hard. We can see it. We can see our own failings. We can see the situation around us. We can become depressed, easily worried by it, easily come into a cycle of negativity. Nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to help. All the work is just useless. And yet we were encouraged a couple of weeks ago to look to God, to look to God's love. God is gracious. God is loving. God is patient. Yes, Josiah knew that God was going to judge the nation. He knew for certain that God would judge the nation. He knew that the people's sin was so prolonged that God would judge them. But he also knew that God was doing that in love. And God's purpose was not to destroy the nation of Israel, but to rid it of its idolatry, to rid it of the sin that had hindered it. And yes, it's vital to repent and to refocus and to do these other things, but there's also a need for us to rejoice. To rejoice in who God is, in what God has done for us. To rejoice in the fact that God has saved us. To rejoice in the knowledge that the God who has been with us all the way up till now will still be with us, whatever the future has. Now, in the Old Testament, the clearest proof for the people rejoicing was the celebrations, and the most important was the Passover. And this Passover that Josiah had, it says, it was the biggest one for many a year. No such Passover had been kept since the days of the judges. Think about it. Josiah himself gave over 30,000 lambs and goats to be sacrificed and 3,000 bulls. This was a big celebration. Why? Because Josiah, even though he had to repent, to refocus, he also knew that it was important to rejoice. And I hope that as we strive to be more godly this year, that we don't forget that we are also striving to rejoice in what God has done. We don't forget who God is, what he has done for us, and what he can do for us in the future. So before I get into the last point, I want to come back to those two quotes. It's one thing to ask God to bless us, but quite another to be the kind of people God can bless. The Lord would give us great things if he could trust us not to steal the glory for ourselves. As we start a new year, are we eager for God to bless us? Are we eager for more people to come in? Are we eager for more people to be saved? Also, are we longing to be people that God can bless? Are we willing to be purified by God as he leads us through being refocused, repenting, returning, and all those other REs? Are we willing for God to purify us before he blesses us, even if that might mean hard times for a short while? I was reading recently about the country of Cambodia. In the 20th century, in the 1970s, Cambodia, small country in Asia, had missionaries there for a long time, and the church was growing very slowly. Then suddenly, it was a great work of God, and the church expanded amazingly. Very soon after, in the 1970s, the communists came, and everything went down. The church was greatly persecuted. All the leaders were taken away to prison. The people were scattered. And it seemed as if all the work that God had done in that country was for nothing. And yet, looking back in it, the leaders of the church now in Cambodia see it as a great blessing of God because it purified the church. It brought it down to its core, or as the Bible often says, the remnant. It didn't have masses of people saying they were Christians, but these were true followers of God. And the church in Cambodia now is growing. And growing, even after such a time of persecution. I just wonder if we are seeking blessing, and yes, we should seek blessing, but are we willing to allow God to prepare us to be blessed, to be the sort of people that God can bless? At the beginning of a new year, I want us to recommit ourselves to God. Yes, the times are hard and uncertain. Yes, in Britain it's a day of small things, but this is a time to start again and to refocus, to repent, to reject everything that hinders us, to react, to be people of action, to reconnect with each other, to be a true fellowship, to rejoice in what God has done, who God is, and what he can do in the future, but also to recommit ourselves to serving God, to seeking him, and to being in fellowship with him. I want us to have the same commitment as Josiah had. Says of Josiah, he turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. Is this something we're willing to do? Finish with the first few verses of Hebrews, chapter 12. Are we people who are willing to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely or entangles us, and to run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter, or author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Remember those REs, Josiah. Refocus on God. Repent. Return to God. Turn away from your sin. Reject anything that is hindering you, anything that's slowing you down. React. Don't just say you're going to do things, but be people of action who do turn away to God. Reconnect. Have fellowship with the people of God. Don't be somebody on their own who doesn't have support of other people around them. Rejoice. Don't forget who God is, what he has done, and who he can be in the future. And recommit yourself to the things of God. Amen.